It is day number 11 in the month of February 2016. Good morning and welcome to Personal Finance Today here on Star 103.5 FM. We say thanks to Frima and her team for bringing us their health this morning. It's a beautiful day, and we are glad to bring you the very first edition of Personal Finance Today. And Personal Finance Today is designed to educate you on prudent spending, financial management, personal financial decisions, and wealth creation. Now, some people ask why they must save. They say, okay, we earn so little and we view savings as a luxury. We'll bring you the numbers here on the Personal Finance Today. 50 pesos for 5 years, how much are you going to earn? 1 cedi for 5 years, how much are you going to earn? 2 cedis for 5 years, how much are you going to earn? Well, some people say the Bible says tomorrow will take care of itself. But the same Bible tells us about the importance of preparing for a rainy day, preparing for tomorrow, casting thy bread upon the waters. We believe there must be a shift from our savings-less culture to one that will engender the desire to create wealth. We'll bring you the practical class in the course of this program, and the practical class basically deals with stories of people who have, at some point in time, had to devise ways to survive through ingenuity, creativity, and innovation. They had to get out of their comfort zones and think outside the box and break the jinx that held them back. We believe the time has come for you to break those chains that has held you, the clock of your progress. And we will educate you on the right and relevant instruments and portfolios in terms of investments that you require to launch yourself onto the path of wealth unimagined. In the practical class today, we'll be talking about a man who is a lecturer at the University for Professional Studies, Accra, UPSA. When he was a student in Legon, he found it difficult to pay his fees and so had to devise a way to get that done. He didn't only end up paying his own fees, he paid the fees of some of his colleagues that he roped in to the project that he brought on board. My name is Kennedy Mona. I have my guest in the studios, and I can tell you without any shred of doubt that this man is the one that is qualified to speak to us on these matters, because he is a chartered accountant, a chartered tax advisor, an investment banker, 16 years of finance and management experience, and he also publishes for the Business and Financial Times on Personal Finance Today every Monday. He's the co-founder and CEO of Ann Street Africa. Personal Finance Today, listener, is brought to you in association with Das Capital, TTL Capital, and indeed Ann Street Africa. So let's recognize them, and then I'll move over to Kingsley, who is seated right in front of me. Let me say a welcome to him, and then we would acknowledge our partners. Kingsley, good morning.
Good morning, Ken. How?
Very well, thanks. I am sure you had to wake up very early. Something probably you're not used to doing.
Yeah, Ken, I think we are, the President of the Republic of Ghana said we don't need to be the spectators, but we need to participate in the economic development. So I believe that waking up this morning and coming here is one thing that we are also contributing to the economic growth.
Okay.
And I believe that as we go along the discussions, you see how we can all contribute to economic development.
Exactly. So you are not merely being a spectator, you are being a citizen.
Certainly.
Patriotic citizen at that.
I'm in to contribute.
Okay. So what is your financial health status? For the best diagnosis and advice on savings and investments, look no further. Das Capital, an investment banking firm licensed by the Securities and Exchange Commission of Ghana, is your sure bet. And Das Capital will serve you a buffet of financial solutions, be it on the local or international market. The I Choose Investment Plan, Dask Possibility Investment Plan, Savings Plan, Fixed Deposit, and Pension Plans are all on the menu. Visit us at number 20 Odanta Street, Asylum Down, or call 03027072389. The number again, 03027072389, for holistic financial solutions. Dask Capital, your most reliable partner for growth. Is your business facing financial challenges? Do you need financial advice to improve on your business model and cash flow? Then talk to Ann Street Africa, a financial tax and investment consulting group with a dedicated team that will diagnose your business and offer customized financial and business solutions to your covering. We cover financial advisory and transaction opinion services, transaction tax and tax planning advisory services, business valuation services, corporate strategy advisory services, financial and operational due diligence services, business restructuring services, enterprise training services, financial and investment professionals recruitment services. For further inquiries, visit our offices on the second floor, Cisse Plaza, Highways, Ashalibotre, Madina, or call 026-542-4487 or 050-6397-405 or visit our website www.anstreetafrica.com. Ann Street Africa, your trusted financial advisor. Now, TTL Capital, your reliable investment advisor and fund manager, introduces to the Ghanaian market TTL Income Haven Fund, a medium-term open-ended mutual fund licensed by the Securities and Exchange Commission of Ghana. TTL Income Haven Fund is a collective investment scheme that mobilizes funds from investors for investment in money market instruments. Now, with a minimum of 50 Ghana cedis, you can open an account to be a shareholder of TTL Income Haven Fund. Top up your investments at any time with a minimum of 20 Ghana cedis. Enjoy superior net returns with a current annualized yield of 27.16%. Any amount from 50 Ghana cedis invested now is likely to earn 27.16% in 1 year. There are no entry charges to invest in TTL Income Haven Fund. Investors enjoy professional management of their investment. Investors can withdraw their investment anytime by giving a 24-hour notice. For further details, call TTL Capital Limited on 0302-201-222 or 0577-680-811. We are located at Farah Avenue, at the Braka between Trust Towers and Hotel President, or visit our website at www.ttlcapital.com. TTL Capital, invest today, secure tomorrow. So Kingsley, having acknowledged our partners, our sponsors, I think we would have to swing into action. And let's also announce to listeners that at some point our phone lines will be activated for you to phone in. We'll take your questions. And like I said earlier, we'll also give you the figures, we'll give you the numbers. You just mentioned a figure. Kingsley has computer ready with the figures. So you mentioned how much you think that you want to put aside, maybe every day, for 1 month and for 5 years or for 10 years, and he'll tell you how much you'll earn. And so if you are throwing away 20 Ghana pesos a day, which you think is insignificant, just phone in and tell us you want to save 20 Ghana pesos a day, and that you want to do that for 10 years. And Kingsley, right away will tell you how much you'll earn for 10 years if you are putting away 20 Ghana pesos. So Kingsley, I've done my work, I've worked, I've sweated, I have made good money. I want to enjoy, all right? The Bible says tomorrow will take care of itself. Why is it important that I save? But first of all, we want to take a look at why financial education is relevant.
Yeah, Ken, thank you very much. And to our listeners, I believe there are a few things that we need to observe. A lot of us have come to a point to reduce financial education to the minimum level that they think that once they start working, wealth is on the way. But let me get these three key issues here before I go into the substantive question. There are three critical issues that can and all destroy you or kill you. Number one, when you have health challenges, it will destroy you. Two, if you have legal challenges, it can also destroy or kill you. And you have financial challenges, it will destroy you. Now, let me pick the health. Once you are sick and you don't have medication to treat yourself, or they cannot treat you, definitely you are on the road to the cemetery. When it comes to legal, you can have legal challenges to the extent that you can't be jailed, and that gives you a different dimension in life. And if you are not careful, you go there, you may not survive. The other one, which is amazing and intriguing, is the financial challenge. I have seen people who have overborrowed a lot of debts, and they cannot sleep. Sometimes we see people driving the latest Mercedes-Benz, the Jaguars and the rest, and trust me, the air conditioner that flows, they don't feel it. They are sweating in the air condition. As we go on with
because
this...
Because there's pressure?
Because there's pressure. So once you have financial challenge, one, it can bring stress. And once stress picks up, you have high blood pressure. It takes you to health issue. And then you're on the road to death. Now again, you can be jailed for some reason, especially if you acquire wealth wrongly. 419 fraud scams can lead you to legal issues and that can jail you. So the underpinning issue when it comes to financial education is that once you have financial challenge, it will trigger into all sectors. And so therefore, the difficulty we have now is that our educational system, for some reason, have neglected the financial education. People graduate from school and they are needy. Yes, they want to resolve every problem that they have. Again, once you are needy, it puts some level of greed if you are not careful. Because once you come out, you want to resolve issues very fast. And let me tell you something. There are about three situations in life that makes everybody poor. You are poor by the family you are born into. Critical. So when you know the history of where you are coming from, trust me, then you need financial education. Mm. You are also poor by virtue of location. Probably if you are in Africa, there's everything here, but when it comes to management leadership, mm-hmm. we are suffering.
Exactly.
So by location alone, that's why people travel to the U.S.
The bane of which people say is corruption.
Perfect.
Just know the digression. But yesterday, we read about the fact that the EFCC in Nigeria hauled, they went to a particular location, a particular building belonging to the former Nigeria National Petroleum Corporation Managing Director, one Andrew Yakubu, and then they were able to get in fiscal cash about almost $10 million fiscal cash. We saw the pictures. It is serious. That's corruption, and that's what's bleeding Africa.
Certainly, that is the issue here. And like I said earlier, if you are born into a family that is poor, then you need financial education. How do you get out is a question that we believe that we need to be answering. That is why some people will think that, oh, I've heard people talk about investment, talk about. We want to know the facts behind the figures. What is behind? That makes the difference. So we are, by the difference of family that you are born into, you may be poor, and that will lead you into some aspect of financial challenges. By friendship and by association, can make you poor. Lifestyle, you colleagues close from work and they meet, take one bottle of beer constantly, and all manner of things. And these are issues that could make you poor. Association. And there are some people that when you connect to them, you make it. Now, you are also poor by like location, yeah. Ghana, Africa, and I believe that's why the president is serious about most of the issues now about integrity. And I'll tell you something about the formula for wealth.
Okay.
And once we connect it, we'll find out whether everybody will pass the test of the wealth they've created. I believe that this is a way to get the economy moving.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, and then you're also poor by virtue of the education that you have. Okay. That means that the educational system somehow have failed in terms of finite education. Yeah. You go into school, spend about 10-15 years to graduate and come out.
Mm-hmm.
Not a single information on financial education. There's a difference between graduating with BSc accounting, banking and finance. Because I've seen bankers who are poor.
Yeah.
Somebody earns 5,000 Ghana cedis. He chooses to stay at around East Legon, which is expensive. He chooses to buy an executive car, the fuel, the maintenance. The person has 4-5 kids paying. Select one of the big schools, I won't mention names, but you pay dollars, but you salary 5,000. When you create all this financial mess, you go to work and you don't work. You are
why would you describe that as financial mess? The fellow is merely living by, you know, what he earns. He thinks that 5,000 can take him there. So that's the standard he's creating. So why must he, you know, renege and say, okay, let me be modest in my spending?
Ken, we don't live for today. There is something that I've said, that we are born, you become poor by virtue of family. We are here today discussing the subject matter, and as I believe as many people, the listeners, will agree with
in you. In the Gary, we have something we say, Kutibundri is in the car center. Give us today our daily bread. We don't care about tomorrow.
And that is why we are here. Why? Because if my father or mother did very well and left a company for me, trust me, I should be able to take off and do better. If your father might have left about $1 million for you, Ken, I believe that I will not be sitting here. So therefore, we should not live for today, but live an inheritance. And that is why I believe that if you are a man and you are born as a man and you don't leave an inheritance, you create a problem. I'm sure many people have been lambasted, insulted by their children every day, each time they find themselves in financial crisis. And they say, if my father,
The blame is always put on the father.
And our mothers too are also spending. Looking good. I believe in looking good, trust me. In terms of, but people wear pink shoe, pink shirt, pink bag, combined. This creates some level of financial mismanagement on the part of our women, which I believe as we go along, most of the critical issues will bring it up.
I'm sure we have tailored topics to cover all these areas.
Yes.
As
because
we
need to uncover some of these critical issues. That is why we are poor. Look, there are different kinds of poverty issues. I believe that as we come across, I'll let you know. And so, if you go to school and graduate with all that, you come out and you have a skill, that's why you perform at your work. That is one. But when it comes to financial knowledge, there are certain tribes in this country that they know how to make money.
Okay, so you just mentioned financial knowledge, and I just saw one of your pieces which says, if knowledge is power, then financial knowledge is security. Financial literacy has been identified globally as a critical tool for development, and issues relating to budgeting, savings, investments, and the management of risks are relevant for the individual, households, and businesses in their development process. Making decisions on these issues, depending on the level of complexity, require at least basic financial literacy levels, which involves the ability of the financial consumer to appreciate the essential and basic knowledge that will help make sound financial decisions and judgments. Personal financial interest and the interest of the national economy are inextricably linked, and the financial health of individuals and households contribute to the financial health of the economy and act as building blocks of the economy. Individuals and households, household spendings, saving and investment significantly impact economic growth. The milestone decisions we make throughout our lives ultimately affect our financial security and ultimately the financial security of our domestic economy. Domestic economy here refers, I guess, to the kind of spending we make at homes, in our various homes, right?
Yes.
Exactly. So let's take it up from there. Financial education.
So, Ken, you know, our personal financial interest and the interest of the national economy are linked together. It's key. You see, the economic growth, or the economy, when they say it's growing, it means that individuals are taking financial decisions. And that is what is creating jobs, creating wealth. If you set up a company of about $5 million or $1
million, amen.
And I also set up a company of $10 million, together, as we take individual financial decisions, then it aggregates into the economic growth. That's why they say GDP. GDP is nothing but the aggregation of individual financial decisions. And it will intrigue you to know that if you look at how much the government of Ghana spends on wages and salaries, on the back that...
Kingsley, before you continue, let me announce that we have our WhatsApp line, and the listeners who are listening can send us some messages, and then maybe if they seek any clarifications or want to ask any questions or add up to the discussion, the line is 0262-518-268, 0262-518-262, and so you can contribute to the discussion in the studio. Kingsley.
Yeah, so if you look at how much our government spends on wages and salary, that's on the public sector alone, it will amaze you that if we are able to keep a percentage of it in serious investment by individual, like I said, the personal interest or financial design of individual makes up the economy. If you check the salary budget or wages budget of the public sector, government alone, you realize that close to over 40% goes into wages alone, not the SNIT contribution, the one that comes to the ordinary person. What does mean is that, for example, in 2012 alone, the government has made about 6.6 billion in that alone. If you should keep 10% of it by individuals, that means that over a period of everybody will begin to make money. When it comes to 2013, they project about 7.4 billion. That goes to people individually. And so if you're able to preserve about 10% or 20%, that makes a lot of difference. Yeah. And it runs through 2014, about 9.4 billion, and it keeps on going. Question is, what the percentage that government keeps on in terms of your future, it's just almost about 10%, 15% of everything, about 18. If you continue this way, what this shows that government is paying people and people are more on consumption. And once you do consumption, the national economy does not grow. And again, we've also seen government expenditure on consumption. So individually, if we take decisions that will grow the economy, the future, then certainly the national economy will pick up. That is why I said that we don't live for today, we live an inheritance. We are creating problems for the future because our children will blame us. That if you had bought this land, I would have developed it. If you had invested in this company, I would have picked it up. And so there are a lot of street children that we have today because parents did not take financial decisions and did not educate themselves. Like I said, the university education or the general education system eliminates financial education. Because there are tribes in Ghana here that can make money. I don't want to mention them, but when we mention them, we know. Why? Because they are mentored. So financial education is one thing. Get all your degrees, get everything. That is why we say that even doctors, professors, those who have gone to Zuru, if you have money, go to Abusoka and go to Agbogbloshie, go there. You see those who are millionaires. Why? They've been mentored, they've been taught how to make money. So making money is another school.
Very
and
right.
I'm looking forward for people to spend time and get financial education right.
Right. Kingsley, we would soon hit 7:30 and we'll go for the practical class. And then, but before then, the issue of poverty in Africa is so rife. And I want to find out from you, why is it that in developing countries like Ghana, you know, poverty seems to be the bane, and that people are not able to break even, to earn a decent living, to live very well?
Ken, as I said earlier, there's something that we will do. There are different kinds of poverty. Today I'll just mention one of them, and that will show you why Africans, or for Ghana in particular, we are poor. There's a group, the one poverty we call the ignorant, the incompetent, the inexperienced kind of poverty. The ignorant, the incompetent, the inexperienced kind of poverty. With this kind of poverty, you see that people have little culture. Culture means values, beliefs, little knowledge about how to make money, little learning. They don't read, they are not learning trade. It's not only academic, trade skills and everything. And little education. And once there's little training, this has serious impact on you. Because even the Bible says that for lack of knowledge, my people perish. In Genesis, I want to go there. It says, I give you dominion.
Preach on, brother.
Dominion over everything.
Mm-hmm.
What Africa needs is not a question of we don't have this resource. It's a question of management and leadership. If you manage, you get resource. If you take decisions, you get results. And this has to be sound. Let me make this point clear here. To make money or to be wealthy, one, you need knowledge. And you also need sound decision. And then time. If you delay
knowledge, sound decision, time.
And then discipline. It's not enough having the knowledge, and it's not enough taking a decision, and it's not enough having time, discipline. You can earn the biggest salary in this country, but you can be poor because, one, you are not disciplined in your expenditure. Two, beyond this, is that once you don't have knowledge, you suffer. And that is the suffering of the poor. Let me give you an instance. For example, poor countries like Ghana is underdeveloped because of what? Education. And now we need to go into what we call practical education. For example, I remember in the UK they've done some research on enterprise education. Education that solves problems. And let me tell my listeners that if you have education and you cannot solve a problem, you'll not be paid. Why? Companies are solving problems. They recruit you to solve a problem.
Results oriented.
So if you cannot solve a problem, you don't have salary. That is why.
Yeah, when you walk into the newsroom there and you are headed towards my chief operating officer's office, there's a bold inscription there: no salutes, bring results. So it's all about the results.
So companies are not NGOs.
Mm.
You solve a problem. Mm. And so if whatever knowledge you acquire, it's not enterprise in nature, that solve problems, forget about wealth. Because people pay for the value of your talent or skills. And again, for you to get value and break out of this poverty issues is the question of making sure that you know what you are about, you know what you are doing, you can resolve problems to make the necessary income from there. So the issue of financial knowledge that we lack, or the knowledge that we lack in Africa, is what is working against our growth. And again, beyond
Kingsley, let's leave it there. We'll come and then continue from there. But it's around 7:32, and let me remind listeners that you are tuned into Star 103.5 FM, and the program is Personal Finance Today. And here we educate you on prudent spending, financial management, personal financial decisions, and wealth creation. And we want to take you out of the quagmire of poverty and set you on the path to wealth unimagined. I told you about the practical class, and today we're dealing with a lecturer at the University for Professional Studies, Accra, who at some point in his life, when he was in Legon, had to devise a way to pay his fees. This lecturer is by name Mr. Mustafa Idrisu. In fact, he lectured me entrepreneurship at African University College of Communications. And so we'd just like to hear briefly his voice, which is like 3 minutes, and then we'll come back. And we believe that on this show, apart from educating you on the right instruments and portfolios in terms of investments and all that, we will also have to help you create that wealth that you need. And so there's that bit of entrepreneurship on the show, and this is part of it. Let's roll.
I entered Legon at level 200. And by level 300, it was becoming quite difficult for me to pay fees. And there were several others that I also found that they were also finding it quite difficult. Sometimes even to get 3 square meals a day was a problem for quite a lot of guys on campus. So something just came to mind that, okay, as somebody who happened to be in the classroom, is it possible that I can get something done so that I'll be able to get my fees paid and also get others that I could help? So I realized that there were quite a lot of people who would want to have home teachers. So I decided to have some leaflets, and I just wrote on the leaflet, "Do you need a home teacher? If yes, call this number." So I came outside Legon. There was a kapok tree right in front of Legon. So I stood there. In the evening, when traffic was very heavy heading towards Medina, I was dropping the leaflets. And trust me, within 1 week, I got almost about 200 calls. So I had assured the people that I would come. But I wasn't going to be able to be the same person to go to all the 200 homes. So I moved from room to room in Commonwealth Hall, trying to find out people who would want to be paid whilst being in school. So I ask you, are you ready to do something that will give you something? Say yes. I say, okay. Then let's start this. So I'll take you to that house, introduce you to the parents, and guide you as to what you were supposed to teach. Within the very first month, I raised some amount of money. I paid all of them, and I got some extra, and I used that money to get a motorbike. Then I was using the motorbike every month, moving from house to house, collecting the money, And anytime I collected my money, I would come, settle the guys who were going to the various houses to go and teach. Then I had enough money to be able to take care of my fees. They had enough money to be able to take care of their fees. And they also had enough money to be able to take care of themselves. Because we're trying to move away from that system of 101 or 100, where you had breakfast, you wouldn't be able to get lunch, you had no dinner. So now that you have something doing, in the evening, you just get up, you go to that house, go teach. At the end of the month, the money is paid to Mustafa, and then being paid to Mustafa, then Mustafa comes to pay you. And then we moved on. And I did that for my level 300 and 400. And when I was leaving campus, I handed it over to one other guy. To be very honest with you, I don't know how the guy ended the whole system. That was what happened.
In a world where everything is ruled by the choices we make, there's always a thin line between a right and a wrong turn and our need to be informed to make the best one. When you invest today, you secure tomorrow. At TTL Capital, what you hold dearest is what we care most about. We help you not only acquire more wealth through the right investment choices backed by solid research, we also manage your investments with the best expertise. Talk to us now for fund management, private wealth management, retirement planning, corporate finance and advisory, and investment research. Locate us at Farrar Avenue, Asalam Down, near the Trust Towers, Accra. Call 0302-201-222 or visit www.ttlcapital.com for more information. TTL Capital. Invest today, secure tomorrow.
Star 103.5 FM. Simply the best.
So you all come back from that break. Indeed, we are here on Star 103.5 FM, and the program is Personal Finance Today. With me in the studios is Kingsley Ajinku Hayford, and he is from Ann Street, Africa. And Personal Finance Today is brought to you in partnership with TTL Capital, your reliable investment advisor and fund manager. It's also brought to you by Ann Street Africa. Ann Street Africa is your trusted financial advisor, and indeed it's also brought to you by Dusk Capital, your most reliable partner for growth. Kingsley, you heard Mr. Mustafa Idrisu. He was in Legon, level 300. He found it difficult to settle his fees, to pay his fees. So he devised a way of getting some money to do that. And so he had to devise this strategy of, you know, putting together leaflets, writing on them, do you require a private teacher at home? And according to him, within 1 week, he received about 200 calls. Parents wanting, you know, private teachers for their wards. And so he went round, you know, Commonwealth Hall and, you know, brought on board other guys who were in his situation who had similar challenges. And then they took it up. Within 1 month, he was able to buy a motorbike, pay his colleagues. And every month he goes round with a motorbike, you know, collect the monies and come and settle them. And that was how he was able to, you know, complete school. And he's doing very well for himself. What are your comments?
Ken, is this an interesting story? Mm. And I believe there's one thing that you can see clearly. The man understood where he's coming from and the challenge that he's going through. And I believe he questioned himself several times why he could not pay his bills and why he could not have even university education and why others are enjoying and he's suffering on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. I believe that we should all pick some lessons from them. We should question our circumstances.
So you realize that he said he went to Legon at level 200. So it meant that he entered as a mature student.
Certainly.
So it means that at some point he took a decision that, look, I must acquire that university education. And that was how come he went to Legon. He didn't know how, you know, the fees were going to be paid, how he was going to sail through. And so they say necessity is the father of invention. Or is it the mother of invention? So he did that. And then this, where he is today, a senior lecturer, he's done a lot for himself, honestly. But those are private issues I wouldn't like to, you know, bring on air. So let's move on to the issue of financial literacy, which you went on, whether it takes the place of consumer protection and market conduct financial regulation. This is big English. Can you break it down? Raymond was saying he needs, you know, that advice that would, you know, catapult him.
Yeah, I think Ken,
to financial sufficiency and independence. That's our tagline on this show.
Let's get it right this way. When it comes to consumer protection and investors, somebody will want to look at it from the fact that can financial education alone resolve our challenges and how to make money from it. You know, again, we also believe that once you have financial knowledge, you could assess various investment instruments. I have a challenge where people go and invest in companies that they have no knowledge about how they do their business, and so they end up into some financial trap. We've seen some situations with DKM, Sunyani situation, and I believe that if people are taking financial knowledge seriously, you would have learned basic things. For example, if you are doing investment, you'll be able to question who are the owners of the business, what kind of investment products that they put the money in. If you're able to question, again, you could, as an investor, you can call for the financial balance sheet. You know, financial statement is nothing. People get confused. You don't need to be an university graduate to be an accountant before you understand it. I mean, basically, financial statement is like a summary, information about their financial performance for the whole period. And in the document, you will see some key issues there. You will see whether they have been profitable. You see where they are investing the money. If they have audited, the auditor would have said something about them. If you look at their cash flows, you look at where they've put the money and the challenge they are facing. So if people had asked these basic questions and they are able to get the solutions, probably they will reduce the amount of money they will invest there. That means that you reduce your risk. And so for me, I believe that financial knowledge is key. But beyond that is what we call the protection bit, where we believe that government on its own should bring in the regulation to tighten it. That is why if you look at the financial sector of Ghana, there are key players. We have Bank of Ghana that handles the banking sector, that handles the microfinance institutions and savings and loans, putting the regulations there. They will do their bit. And then we have also have the National Insurance Commission, because we have life insurance, which is key as part of the financial decision that we have to make. They also regulate. And we also have the Securities and Exchange Commission that regulate the investment community. And we have National Pensions Authority that also look at the future. So if these regulators are doing their work well, on the back of your own knowledge, that is why I believe that people should not get interested in financial education. I believe that going forward, we need to come up with some investor education where people should be able to pay. Because, look, people have spent thousands of dollars and thousands of CDs to acquire master's degree, first degree, and everything to get skills. Now we get into the point where you enter the job market and want to marry, to manage your finances well. And that aspect, you miss it all in terms of how to make money and manage your wealth and create wealth for tomorrow. I have said several times that men will have to leave an inheritance and women must leave an inheritance, not for you today, but for tomorrow. If something happens to you today, what happens? So I believe that financial knowledge is very, very key, where you do something I call personal investment due diligence. Never, for example, if somebody is giving 40% interest, it tells you something. You see, let me define investment for people to understand.
Before you define investment, there's a question for you, but let me announce to listeners that we are open to taking your suggestions and questions on WhatsApp, and the number is 0262-518-268. 0262-518-268. That's a WhatsApp number. You can send us your questions and suggestions on this show, and then Kingsley is on hand to address them. But Kingsley, he has a question. He says, "Hi Ken, how is your guest addressing this phenomenon where the youth of today are spending over 70% of their incomes on lifestyle, wearing expensive dresses, buying expensive phones and gadgets, alcohol, etc., instead of investment?" This is from Bismarck Koforidua Technical University. Bismarck, thank you very much for your message. Kingsley will take that.
Ken, I believe that first and foremost, I've said earlier, financial is key. You need to define who you want to become.
Maybe setting of priorities.
Yes. Yeah. You need to define who you want to become, and you need to understand your problems. You need to understand your financial situations, and then ask yourself, but the next 10 years, 5 years, what do I want to do? Do I want to start my business? Do I want to have a comfortable life? And once this education is obtained as early as much as possible, it will inform your thinking. Look, it will blow your mind that people spend about, take cook or take drink every day. For example, they buy, if they are taking rice, they'll take cook. Even some people, when they are taking fufu, it's amazing, they take drink. Mm. And if you calculate, if you are doing 10 cedis or even 3 cedis or 2 cedis a day on a drink, times 30 days, about 60 Ghana cedis. Yes.
But and even that is not good for your health.
Certainly.
Eating fufu and then you have some Sprite or some Fanta or some Coke or some soft drink, as they call it, by your side, and then right after that you I understand it's just not.
So
not,
you
not
realize that I indicated three critical issues when it comes to life: the legal issue, the health issue, the financial challenge.
Exactly.
One, the financial challenge is triggered by lifestyle, by wrong decisions. It will lead you into other health issues, which I believe that we need to avoid it. So defining who you want to become, what you want to do, will inform your lifestyle and your decisions. And for me, that is why I believe this program is all about, so that people will define their goals. Once you define your financial goals, then you are set. Because look, we take a lot of decisions. The decision to marry is critical, and it involves an unending cost. The day you marry, when the pregnancy comes, it increases your temperature. When the child drops, your temperature rises. The next day they can call you.
Yeah.
They can call emergency that the child is sick.
Exactly.
If you are not careful, you immediately can have running stomach.
It's true.
Trust me.
It's very
and
true.
I believe that those who are married, they know. 5 kids. Yeah. It's amazing. Sometimes it's miracle that we live. Because sometimes they can even call you. They can call you that the power is off.
Yeah. Sure. You must buy electricity.
You must buy. And these are the real issues. We take decisions to build a house, and these are major decisions. We take decisions where we want to buy a vehicle, and it's amazing. I've done some piece on vehicle issues, and I believe that people buy vehicle forgetting about the
that will come up in the course of
so
of,
these are decisions that we take every day, and we believe
this program,
that
in the ensuing weeks though
people should define their goals. And the ones you are setting, like I said earlier, we are born and we come poor by family, by association, friendship, by location, and by the education that we have. These are things that are troubling African countries and the world. But especially Ghana, we have our peculiar circumstances.
Yes.
And so therefore, you need to understand this and define so that you avoid certain lifestyles and then you get it right.
Okay.
Look, let me tell you something. If this economy will grow, the Minister of Finance just recently said that they are in for wealth creation, the job creation agenda. It should be based on knowledge.
Okay.
If the people are not well educated to take financial decisions, which are the sound ones, trust me, the economy will not pick up despite government efforts. Because I'm believing that if government should say that, look, I want to get about 1 million people entrepreneurs. That is why I'm trusting that if you have worked in the private sector or public sector for about 10, 15 years, you should be able to work out and create room for the young ones to come. Why?
And if once you get out, you're able to slow down
you need
and
to
do things at your
you
own
have to
pace.
Start your own business. Or if you cannot start, you can take off and do something that you love to do. You can write a book, you can make money out of it. Why? Let me give you an example. A lot of people in the senior management role, the banks and some of the big companies, if you are making an average of, let's say, 5,000 Ghana cedis, if you make an average of 5,000 Ghana cedis, I'm trusting and challenging people to try this. Look, to do, let's say, 40% of the 5,000, their salary every month as an investment. I call that one 40% loan deduction approach, investment approach. 40% of 5,000.
Rhea, are you listening?
40% of 5,000.
You want the practical
it's
aspect
2,000.
Of that, yeah.
40% of 5,000 is 2,000. Now, the assumption is that assume that you have taken a loan. Because when you pick a loan from a bank, from your first salary, once you buy, maybe you are going to buy a land, you take 10,000 and you buy the land. The money is gone. Now, from the next month, immediately you need to change your lifestyle. That's why the questioner, lifestyle. Once you make the decision to change the way you have to live, if you used to buy a drink, you have to stop. If you used to pick taxi regularly, you have to use
trotro, yeah.
So that you adjust because of the objective. Why? You've bought a land. Remember that the moment you buy the land, the money is gone. And trust me, nothing happens to you. So it is believed that within the banking system, that everybody can live on 60%. That's why within the banking system, there's the principle of don't take more than 40% of a person's salary. Mm. There's a reason that everybody can live on 60%. And for me, if you want to see new breed of entrepreneurs or new breed of millionaires in the system, we must adopt the aggressive approach. Look, hunger does not kill. I'm sure people have suffered a lot of time. So if you do 2,000 Ghana cedis for 5 years, 10 years, let me look at 10 years, and you are getting 25% as interest on the 2,000 for the 10 years, you are raising almost about 700,000 for the 10-year period. So if you're a young guy, about 30 years, you are blessed to have a good job, very intelligent, you are being paid with 5,000 Ghana cedis. That I'm challenging all senior managers of corporations who are earning 5,000, minimum 5,000, that they are the next generation of entrepreneurs. The next generation of business. They should set a 10-year agenda. That 10 years from now, I'll walk away from the corporate world and I'll allow the next group to come in to look for job and get the job. Because if you are doing 2,000 Ghana, that's 40%. And you are making 700,000, you can retire. Why? 10% of 700,000, assume you get 700,000, 10% of it is about 70,000.
Yeah.
Let's say, let's make it 6,000, 60,000. And the 60,000, let me just get this, 60,000, okay. If you divide by 12, it's about 5,000. Mm. That means that if you agree to do 40%, in 10 years' time, you can take off your main job and do something that you love to do. And your investment of the 700,000 can earn you 5,000 a month. It's as if you are still working again. Remember, stress, sickness, other things will go down, and you live a comfortable life.
Very well. Thanks, Kingsley. Let's announce the phone lines. Let's activate and see if we can pick a call or two. The number to dial is 0302-231144 or 0302-231145. And remember, the WhatsApp line is also 0262-518-268. 0262-518-268. Kingsley, you mentioned... Okay, I think there's a message here for you, a question. I'm a shareholder of Produce Buying Company, that's PBC. Last year, the company did not call the normal annual general meeting, and they have not given we the shareholders any information about that. Question: can I write to the company to ask why the meeting did not come off last year? And also, can I take the company to court? My name is Teddy from Nsakina in Gar West.
Yeah, Teddy, I think there's always, we'll call, when you come to the stock market, there's always investor relation units of most of the companies.
Mm.
And so they normally will write to shareholders and to update on what is happening.
Mm.
I believe that if he knows that he can make a call to the company and find from the investor relations unit, and I'm sure they will update him and get everything. That's why I said earlier that, look, we need to read, we need to have financial education. So once you write, they'll give you necessary information. But I think find out first, and then the court issue will come later. But I think first and foremost, just get the information and the reason why the meeting did not come on. So you pick it.
Okay, so there's another a question here. Thanks so much, Ken, for this insightful program. My question is, how do you save if you are receiving a salary of about 500 Ghana cedis at the end of the month? You have to pay rent, utility bills, and other stuffs. This is for Kwesi from Bochi.
First and foremost, the issue I said is a question of discipline, and you need to outline your expenditure very critically and also make some changes and alignments. For example, depending on where you stay, if your rent is so high there, relocate. Why? You see, I said earlier that you must have a goal. And when you get to the destination, your life will be better. So once you are fully aware of the benefits that you'll be getting after that major decision, you are not worried. So if you are living in an expensive place, relocate. If you are paying 100 Ghana cedis rent, relocate to a place to pay about 80. Immediately you save 20 Ghana cedis and then your investment starts. Two, if you are the type that take taxi a lot,
You cut down.
You move to trotro.
Unless under extremely important and necessary conditions.
There's something that I've realized. We are putting pressure on ourselves. A lot of people feel shy. Their lives are being run by people. Oh, this lady will see me. this gentleman will see me. You see, in Ghana here, if you, those who have traveled outside.
But there are other people who also do it, you know, very nicely. For instance, the fellow has a meeting at, let's say, ministries, and then, you know, he's going to meet this or that person. The fellow gets a trotro. The fellow maybe is around Amasama. The fellow gets a trotro, gets to circle, and then maybe get another trotro around Ridge, and then Eliza and PK taxi dropping, man. So once the fellow gets there, you know the fellow is, you know, the fellow is, you know, actually,
so there must be an interest,
has actually been using a trotro,
a way of managing it.
Yeah.
Even
that, it cuts down on the cost.
Perfect.
Than taking a dropping straight from Amasaman to ministry.
Because the fellow is talking about, how do I save?
Mm.
So you are getting the real issues.
Mm.
So you must take decisions. Eliminating feeling shy. You know, if you want to be successful, you take away shyness. Critical.
Yeah.
It's like somebody who doesn't have income regularly, suffering every day, begging from people. And you ask the person, why can't you roast plantain at your area? They say, I feel shy. Then you are not ready for money.
Okay.
You are not ready for wealth.
Okay, so Raymond from Bedukrom says, great job there, keep it up. And this one says, King in the studio lives what he says. I worked with him about 10 years ago, and he has always had an impression on me. Thanks, Ken, and still listening. John of Kwashiman. Do you know any John? He says he's worked with you.
Wow, yeah.
About
I think
10 years ago.
Yeah, I think I have assisted
him.
He
says, you live what you preach. You live what you do, what you say.
I think we thank God for that. I think it's a question of the fact that we don't just learn, but we come to a point that we want to deliver what we say or live what we say. That's why I said earlier that the issue of shyness. For example, if you travel, those who have traveled outside, I mean, the city of London, people wear suits, they walk. But here in Ghana, if you're a senior manager of a company, if they see you in trotro, they say, I saw boss here.
Yeah.
And it put a lot of pressure. And I believe that from this program, we should see people in suit walking.
Yeah.
And we should feel comfortable walking. You should feel free. Why? We have an assignment. We have a goal. And once I get there, when you see me, you like me, I'll change. You see me in my best suit and everything, because I've invested, I've taken my time, and I'm enjoying
it. Okay, Kingsley, we have barely 5 minutes to go. We need to do this as quick as possible and step out of the studio. But there's a question here. It says, if I save 150 Ghana cedis every month for 10 years, what do I get, and at what interest rate? And which investment bank or portfolio? This is from Patrick, University of Education, Winneba. We can quickly tackle that, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah, let me just give something, quick one. Let's assume that he's doing 150 Ghana cedis a month. And let's say, averagely, if he's getting about even 15% annual interest rate, for five years, he's going to make around 12,000 Ghana cedis, almost 13,000 for 5 years.
Yeah.
If you are looking at 10 years, he's going to about 38,000 for just 150.
And at what rate?
I'm looking around 15%.
Okay.
That's just the minimum.
Okay.
And even the more if you negotiate well, you get a better deal. If you are looking at 15 years, it's about 91,000. 150 Ghana cedis at 15% for 10 years.
Mm.
Oh, close to 100,000.
Wow.
And that can start a business.
Yeah.
So if you're a young man of 30 years, a young lady of 30 years, you say, by 40, I take off. That's why I said, you don't say life begins at 40.
Mm.
You don't just get 40. Begins at 40, you're going to do major things.
Yeah.
And major things come with ideas, skills. Yeah. And once you get skills, it must be powered by money.
Mm.
And that's why I say money.
Very well.
It's critical.
Kingsley, I think I would have to conclude here. Now, is your business facing financial challenges? Do you need financial advice to improve on your business model and cash flow? Then talk to Ann Street Africa, a financial tax and investment consultant group with a dedicated team that will diagnose your business and offer customized financial and business solutions to you, covering financial advisory and transaction opinion services, transaction tax and tax planning advisory services, business valuation services, corporate strategy advisory services, financial and operational due diligence services, business restructuring services, enterprise training services, financial investment professionals recruitment services. For further inquiries, visit our offices on the second floor, CZ Plaza Highways at Shalibotre, that's Medina, or call 0265424487 or 0506397405. Kingsley, we'll end it for today. But for me, my take on today's issues have been knowledge, that's in order for financial sufficiency and independence, knowledge, sound decisions, time, and discipline. Those were the issues you mentioned. And then challenges in life, you say, has to do with legal, health, and, the financial aspects. Let's leave the listeners with that. And when we return next week, we're going to be looking at wealth creation. That's the topic for next week. Kingsley, so maybe if Sammy will give you some 30 seconds for your last words.
Yes, Ken. Yeah. I think that this is key. There are a few observations that I want to put across so that listeners will take key issues out of. Number one, people have lost huge sums of money through dubious arrangement, and this could avoid if they had some appreciable level of financial knowledge. The DKM situation, and then we have seen that people would have been successful if they have exhibited some level of financial intelligence in the choice of decisions. And then also, if people also plan, it will give them a very good start financially. And I've also come to a point to say that I'm looking for government to come out with a more financial inclusive strategy to overhaul the system so that people can pursue investment. And I'm looking for companies and corporate institutions to institute financial education, because number one, it will increase productivity. Two, it will reduce the stress of staff, because when the staff is stressed out, he will not work. He will pretend to be working.
Yeah, but he's not work. Actually delivering.
Productivity and return on investment.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kingsley. Kingsley Ajenkwe-Hayford is CEO of Anstreet Africa. He's also a co-founder and a chartered accountant and chartered tax. Exactly. Very well. Kingsley, we thank you so much for coming today. Listeners, we'll see you next week. This has been Personal Finance Today. We thank our partners, Das Capital, TTL, and Anstreet Africa. My name is Kennedy Mona. Make a date next week. Have a super week.